I'd like to speak to you on things concerning the fact when things go wrong. And if I could put a title to this message, it'd be Things That Go Wrong. Just like Meg had experienced. And this deals with when you're pressing in closer to Jesus like never before. And I've noticed in my own life, just when things seem to get better, then all of a sudden, it gets worse. You know, you have those days. You're late for a meeting, you rush out, then you've got a flat tire. Now you've finally got the wheel pumped, now you drive down the road. I've got no diesel. Now you've got to stop somewhere. France, you buy a car and then they come and confiscate it from you. We've all been there. Meg has been there. I'm sure every one of you can stick your hand up and say, yes, I've been there. So I want to present you with a story from the Bible. With a guy, and I always get this wrong, my wife laughs at me. Jairus, okay? He's from somewhere in Israel. A highly respected Jew. Also, he was the leader of the synagogue. And one would consider him as an insider. He's the guy. He's the guy that goes into the Holy of Holies once a year. He's the guy that hears from God. And we call him an insider. So I want to pick the story up in Mark 5, verse 22. And it reads like this. A leader of the synagogue, his name was Jairus, saw Jesus and bowed before him. Now, this is very unusual because they didn't even like Jesus. So, yay, we see this guy coming in public and he bows before him. And in verse 23, he begged Jesus again and again. It's saying, my little daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hands on her. And then she will be healed. So there was a certain amount of faith here. And if we go along in this story, in verse 42, Mark decides to tell us how old the girl is. 12 years old. All right, so what is the numerical meaning of 12? It must mean something. 7 is completion. 12, we see 12 tribes of Israel. We see that the showbread was put in 12. We see that there's 12 months in a year. And that numerical number means, and it symbolizes God's power and authority. The numerical number 12. And I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. Now, Jairus saw Jesus and he fell at his feet, begging him in public, in earnestly, because his daughter was at the point of death. And said to Jesus, I really need your help. Sorry, something's gone wrong. I really need your help. To come and heal my daughter. Now, he had a measure of faith, because otherwise he wouldn't have done that. And Jesus saw that measure of faith, and he says, fine, let's go. And so the two of them set off, and the Bible says he went with him and everything seemed hopeful. I'm sure each one of us in that position would think everything is a-okay. I'm with Jesus. I'm walking to my daughter and there's going to be a miracle today. The Bible says that he went with him and everything seemed hopeful. Everything seemed good. I came and asked Jesus to fix my situation and now we're on our way to have this healing take place. Note that Jairus had faith and Jesus could see that. And he was ready to go and heal him because of that faith. Now Romans 12:3 says, for I say through grace given unto me, which is all of us, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. So you, I, Jairus, whoever comes in contact has the measure of faith. And I believe that you get that measure of faith the day you say, Lord, be my Savior. everything's going good, and then something begins to happen as they were walking towards his miracle. How many times have I not seen that? That somebody is at the point of receiving their miracle, then something happens and things get worse. I need to stop here, you see, because Mark 5, there are two stories. Jairus and the woman with the issue of the blood. We've all heard that story. We've heard many sermons on it. But I've never heard them preach and mentioning Jairus. And I believe you can't separate these two stories. They're intertwined. And we will see why. So we pick it up in Mark 5, verse 24. So Jesus went with Jairus, and many people followed. In fact, if you read in the commentaries, people thronged around Jesus because they want to see a miracle. They were pushing very closely around him, the word says. In verse 25, there among the people was a woman who was bleeding for the past 12 years. The other 12 comes up again, and it symbolizes God's power and authority. The woman who had the issue of the blood presses in, and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And instantly, just like that, she gets healed. And of course, Jesus stops. Says, "Who touched me?" People say, "Lord, look, everybody's touching you, pushing you, thronging you. Now you ask, who touched you?" And Jesus says, "Somebody touched me." The woman who had the issue of blood that touched her realized what happened. And she said, "It was I that touched you." Now I want you to see the difference between what happened between Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood. Now Jairus came and begged in public and down on his knees and repeatedly said, "Please come and help." While the woman with the issue of blood came with a purpose and a plan in her heart. She came with faith, and she went on her knees so that she was able to touch the hem of his garment. Do you see the difference? She took a huge risk because the leader of the synagogue was there with the power to condemn her because she was considered unclean. Jesus heals the woman, and listen to what he says to her. "Daughter of faith." Can you believe that? Instead of being condemned, he says, "Daughter of faith, do you know that your faith has made you well?" I wonder what Jesus was thinking at that point. He was probably thinking, "Jairus, connect the dots here, man. On the deepest level, you and your daughter are just as unclean, sinful, and corrupt of evil as this bleeding woman that you condemned 12 years ago. She may be an outsider under the Jewish cleansing law, but when it comes to God's character, pure, holy love, now you the outsider and no longer the insider." Can you just see how ironic this whole thing is? We see that faith can heal, but you know it's possible that faith can fail. Well, we see in the Bible that Jesus says he couldn't do too many miracles in his hometown due to unbelief. He healed a couple of maybe headaches or something. So let's have a look at different faiths that's described in the Bible. So the first faith that we see is faith that lacks. So we're going to go through a couple of them. So in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, here Paul is praying for Timothy with other believers. So, and it says, "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face," that's Timothy's face, "and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." So, your intercessor that comes to you is doing just that, interceding so that it might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Then we see dead faith, having faith and yet being dead. James 2:17 tells us, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead." In verse 20 it says, "But thou wilt know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." So we see now people with little faith that Jesus spoke about, and we see in Matthew 16 verse 8. Now, yet Jesus warns his disciples against the leaven of the Pharisees, and they mistook this completely, and they thought, oh, were we supposed to bring bread? Because we read in verse 8, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? He was actually getting a bit irate here. And in Luke 12, verse 28, again we see, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow cast in the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? So we see here from having little faith, we see it's possible to stray from your faith. So you say, how is that possible to stray from your faith? I'll tell you, God has all the answers in the Bible. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 2:17 and what it says here, and here are two horrible words to pronounce. And what they say will spread like gangrene. Hymenaeus and Pilatus are like that. Verse 18, they have abandoned the truth by claiming that the resurrection has already taken place, and so destroying the faith of others. So we can see that there are many types of faith, but there's one faith that stands out above the rest. And we read that story in Matthew 8, verse 5. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, verse 6, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, because he was not a Jew, but speak only the word, and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and I say to the other, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said, they that followed him, the people that were with him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, why did this make Jesus excited? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus knew God's word has authority and it never returns void, but accomplishes that which he pleases. So I want everybody to say, great faith. Amen. So how do we strengthen that measure of faith? Romans 10:17. You know, Dave always says, I'm glad you asked because I'm going to tell you how. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we daily read the word, as we daily spend time with God, the measure of faith starts to grow. But I think let's get back to the story, because by this time, Jairus is biting at the bit. You see, in his mind he's saying, I have a sick daughter, don't you know? And all these people are distracting Jesus. You know what? Sometimes the situation seems to get worse. And I say seem to get worse. This situation happened when Jairus was sinking the little hope that he had when this took place with this woman with the issue of the blood. And while Jesus was still speaking the words, daughter, your faith has made you well, word comes to Jairus and they say, your daughter is dead. Oh my. I wonder if the words daughter that was uttered at precisely the same moment when Jairus heard simultaneously these two things, that Jesus said, daughter, take courage, your faith has made you well, and simultaneously, your daughter has died. Why trouble thou the master anymore? We go back to Mark 5:35, and it says, while he spoke, that is Jesus, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead, trouble thou the master any further. So in other words, don't worry anymore. But you know what I want you to see? Why trouble thou the master any longer? In our understanding, meaning you tried. You did everything you could. The miracle that you were hoping for, that seemed like it was going to come, did not come. Things went from bad to worse. We've all experienced it. You should not trouble the teacher anymore, meaning don't walk with him anymore. Let Jesus go. Let him do other stuff. Go back home and bury your daughter. It's over. No, that's exactly what the story is about. I want to share to somebody today, because there are people out there that when you start pressing into Christ through prayer, through fasting, through humbling yourself, through memorizing scriptures, and your life starts to progress towards Christ, but then things get worse. Maybe in your family, in Franz's case, they take his car. Maybe in your health, maybe in your finances. Like the ruler of the synagogue, you've been walking away with Jesus, but you see other people getting a breakthrough faster than you. Have we not all experienced that? While this should encourage and build your faith, it also discourages. Because the woman with the issue of the blood seemed to receive by a touch of Jesus what the ruler of the synagogue was walking to get, and he wasn't getting his miracle instantly. I think he must have wanted Jesus to say, your daughter is whole. But sometimes we have to walk with Jesus. Sometimes we have to go away with him. The woman with the issue of the blood received by a touch to Jesus is a miracle that the ruler of the synagogue seemed to have not gotten. Actually, to the point that his daughter died. And you know, when you get to those points in your life, despair sets in. I'm sure you've all been there. It seems like in my life, when I ask God for something, and I look around me, I seem to be surrounded with people that don't even look like they're praying. God just seems to bless them left and right. When we look at ourselves, we like Jairus. I've been begging. I've been pleading. I've walked a journey with God. Things are not getting any better, but they seem to be getting worse. Now, the temptation is to get discouraged and not to trouble the teacher anymore. And that just kind of kills the faith, doesn't it? You lose your passion and you say, I just feel like quitting. I've said that in my life. I've said to Dolly, I don't think I want to even go to church anymore. Now, you know what? God will not deal with each other the same way. Sometimes as you're pressing in, begging Jesus, like the ruler, you're looking at your life and it's getting worse. Somebody else next to you seems to get things by a touch. I want to challenge you today. Don't give up on your dreams. Do you have a dream? We better all have a dream. In fact, the woman with the issue of blood suffered for 12 years and never gave up. It would be wrong to assume that life was easy for her. It wasn't. Yes, the miracle came quickly, but the suffering that woman endured left her with no income and absolutely destitute. This ruler came asking Jesus for a healing and did not meet, and Jesus did not meet his expectation at first glance, because the girl died. Did you know that Jesus exceeded his expectation? Because the girl got raised from the dead. Maybe Jesus is planning to exceed your expectations today. But you know, God doesn't work on our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we see that in Isaiah 55 verse 9. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when it seems like the Lord's not meeting your immediate expectation. Keep on trusting in Him to exceed them. And He will exceed those expectations if you don't get distracted. Don't stop pressing in, because at that point might be your turnaround. God is with you. We sang it this morning. The joy of the Lord is your strength, not the joy of your answered prayer. I've seen that. When the prayers are answered, they're gone. The story goes on as they were walking, and people said, "Don't trouble the teacher anymore." And we pick that up in Mark 5, verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." We sang that earlier this morning. And this is the word that the Lord has given to me today to release to every person here. Don't be afraid, but continue walking with Jesus even when things seem to get worse. It seemed by walking with Jesus, this ruler's situation got worse. It didn't get better. His daughter went from sick to dead. They said, "Go home. Focus on your problems. Go and bury your daughter." And Jesus says, "No, let's not stop here. We're going to your house." And listen to this. Instead of burying his daughter, he experienced the resurrection. Ah, come on, you just missed it. Jairus thought he was going to receive a healing, but instead he got a resurrection. What does resurrection mean? New life. New life. Amen. I wonder if Jairus receiving his daughter back made the connection that she was born 12 years ago. The very same time he condemned the woman as being unclean. Certainly we meant to do that connection, as Mark provides that little detail for us. Some people may have not experienced a breakthrough, but a breakdown. And I'm sure many of us have been there. There's nothing wrong with having priorities. But if it means you have to walk away from Jesus, this is just the enemy distracting you from your miracle today. Sometimes God is like an archer, pulls the arrow back. Not because He's taking you backwards. Listen to what I'm saying. It's because He's preparing to release you forward into something new, a new destiny. Some interpret this going backwards as a delay. There's a disappointment. We doubt. We doubt God's presence. We doubt if He's even walking with us. Many of us will heed to the voice of the accuser that will tell you, "Don't trouble the Master anymore. Walk away from this," and sad to say, many do. And you find people backslide. And that's really what the enemy wants to do. He comes to kill and destroy. Doesn't come to give life. Jesus came to give life, that you can go from your miracle to a resurrection. You'll not only see a healing, but you'll experience a resurrection, which is new life. "I will not only meet your expectations," the Lord says, "I will exceed them because I am God." Where do we read this in the Bible? Luke 18, verse 27. And He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And that's a promise. You know, I've got a big Bible at home, like this family Bible. Put it down on the ground and you can step on it, because the promises are yes and amen. They're sturdy. They have stood the test of time. And I want to encourage you today not to stop walking with Jesus when things seem to get worse. Not to stop pressing into Jesus when things seem to get difficult. But to continue to pray and walk with Him. Maybe you don't have a job. Bills are piling up. It happens to all of us. And the future is not looking so bright. You came to Him for a healing. But what if He has a resurrection in store? You came to Him for provision. What if He has prosperity in store for you today? Jesus didn't just feed the masses. There were 12 baskets left over. Jesus didn't give Israel manna. He gave them quail as well. He gave them houses they didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant, cities they didn't build. And our God is a good, good God. Amen.
Amen.
He says, fear not. Be not dismayed. For I am is with you, says the Lord. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do I walk through the valley of shadow of death? I fear no evil, for you and your rod and your staff comfort me. We sang that as well this morning. I will see a breakthrough on the other side. Amen. So we pick up the story when they said, the daughters, Jesus says, no, she's just asleep. And they start laughing and mocking at him. Okay, so in verse 37, Mark 5, 37. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of Jesus. So as you get closer to your breakthrough, there are going to be less and less people who will truly walk with you in unity of heart and are truly in one spirit with you. Meg spoke about she's got one or two friends. That's what normally happens. One or two friends that will truly stick with you. And when he got to the house, Jesus put them all outside because they ridiculed him. There are going to be people who are going to ridicule your miracle and steal your blessing. Be careful. We've got to guard against this. I'm not planning for disaster. I'm planning for a destiny with Jesus. And I have great faith. Amen. Great faith. I'm full of optimism. I have to be full of fearless courage. What about you? Are you ready for your miracle and breakthrough this morning, today, next week? Are you ready to go from a healing to resurrection, which is new life? We see in Corinthians 5 verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So to bring your vision to fruition, you're going to have to deal with negativity and fear. That's the thing that keeps us back all the time. Paul writes to the church of Timothy, Thessalonica. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. And I want you to understand that. Make it part of the promises that you have. There are going to be times that the storms of life are going to hit you. Family problems, financial difficulties. And you're aware that you're drowning. I've often said to Darlene, and then she rebukes me, I said, we're not going to make it. She says, don't say that. And the storms of life are rising up, and you're starting to lose your faith. Thank God she's my life partner. When I feel down, then she says to me, don't say things like that. And you know what? Jesus had to say that to his disciples as well. Mark 4, 37. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And the disciples got panicky and afraid. And Jesus was asleep, and his disciples were fearful and woke him up. And this is what he said to them while he was rebuking the storm. We pick it up in verse 40, and he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Remember, we spoke about all the different kinds of faith. And now we see that fear can make you lose your faith. Such a practical example. You cannot get the water out of the sea, but you can get the water out of your boat, which is fear. Amen. We need to repent of unbelief and losing our focus. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the one that gave us the faith in the first place, and he'll help us perfect it. We have to get our minds filled with great faith. That's all we got to think of, is great faith. Nehemiah 8:10 says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Allow strength to well up you. Start thinking of God's promises. Think of that Bible that you can stand on. Groot dik Bible. And now you can stand on it. It's sturdy. And Paul says to Philippians in verse 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what we should do in our life. Now, some other translation says, against such there is no law. So we have to fill our minds with that. When David was in Ziklag, all hope around him was lost. All his possessions were gone. Ziklag was burnt down. His family was gone. And he strengthened himself in the law, in the Lord. 1 Samuel 36, we read there that David was greatly distressed. For the people spoke of stoning him, because the souls of the people were grieved, every man for his son and daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. You see that in a time of distress, instead of walking away, leave the master alone, do your own thing, he encouraged himself in God. Don't focus on the negativity or negative side. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Allow your faith to be built up to great faith. The word says joy comes in the morning. We sang about that as well. And where do we find it, by the way? I'll tell you. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Amen. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I think we come to understand about our walk with Jesus and what we should do when things seem to go wrong. And I think let's close our eyes and pray, because I believe that we are at the end now. And open your hearts. And while I'm praying, pray with me. Amen. In the name of Jesus, accept our repentance right now for unbelief. We repent of doubt and fear, Lord. We repent of allowing those things to take roots in our minds, where we always see problem and anticipate the worst. God, we are people of faith and we want to fix our eyes on you. Anchor our feet in the rock. That is your word. Our minds renewed by your truth, God. We don't want our minds to be a reflection of our life, but we want our minds to be a reflection of your promises. Lord, we want to be a people of great faith, like Joshua and Caleb. We want to be a people whose faith can move mountains. We want to be a people of faith, like you said to the ruler Jairus, who lost his daughter. Only believe and don't be afraid. Lord, as we go out today, we ask that you will do your will. We ask, Lord, that you will direct our every prayer and intercession throughout the coming week, Father. We ask, Lord, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable to you, Lord. Pour out your power over us, that we can do what you do, Lord. Father, we want to thank you that you are more, that we are more than conquerors. And as we pray, we ask that you speak life into any situation you want us to. We ask for your anointing this morning. And everybody said, Amen. One last scripture. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. As encouragement, it says, but the Lord is faithful and will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Isn't that just amazing? I believe that we, you, too can go from a healing to a resurrection, which is new life. And as we draw to an end and sing the last song this morning, if there's anybody that needs prayer, I urge you to come up. I'm willing to pray with you. Deacons are willing to pray. Don't go today without stepping into your destiny. It's important. Amen.